Abraham, who, when he was still looking for a city that has no foundation, a city whose builder and maker, the architect, is God, he was still here having tents where he can house 318 house servants, yet he's still looking for that blessed hope. So we want you to occupy while you are here. And that is why God has not even called you home, and that's why he has not really appeared in the sky, just for you to take charge here. And how would you take charge if you don't know how to pray like Jesus pray? And that is what we've been doing in Knockout Seasons. In this series, we've been talking about prayer. We really want to know the kingdom way of praying, the New Testament way of praying. We're looking at every erroneous teachings, every philosophy, everything that is anti-New Testament. And we started on the Lord's Prayer just last weekend, and we want to continue. Last weekend, we talked about the drug abuse, and we talk about the paternity test, knowing the fatherhood, and the establishment of the father, the paternity test, know who the father is, and that is a bedrock for the prayer life. We even saw that the Lord's Prayer started with our father, so it's not something we can brush aside until we settle that who is the father. We really need to settle that, bring it to the court of the law, and let the forensic scientists work on the paternity. And so we just like we have the forensic scientists in the science world and the accounting world, so we are doing the forensic analysis of who the father is to know the paternity. And we have copious scriptures from Hebrews, from Romans, to tell you who the father is. You have the DNA of the father, you have sharing it in the same spirit. If what I'm saying is really above your head, you really need to get to our page, yes, with the 247 page, and listen to our last transmission, in which was the paternity test, who is the father. And so you might need to check that and check the previous, the drug abuse and every other episodes. We are on episode, how many episodes now for Esposé?
I'm not too sure, we'll probably double check.
So like that, you really have a lot to think about, a lot to listen to, a lot to reflect, and a lot to put in practice. So you have your, like, a workload, a worksheet for you. So we're going to continue. I don't want to waste much of your time. We're going to continue from where we stop. You've been following us the Lord's Prayer last weekend as we continue this week. So sit back, you know, and let's start you up by the grace of God.
Yeah, thank you. Now, viewers, thank you again for tuning in onto this Knockout series on prayer, on our expose transmission. Now, just like she has said, in a summary, we can recapitulate and simply say we've been looking at, prayer. And then the main thing I want you to actually take note of is we said in Matthew chapter 6 and Luke 11, when Jesus began to tell the disciples how to pray, because they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. He started with our Father. And that's what we focused on our last two, three transmissions has been on that. So we're simply saying that really prayer becomes a burden. Prayer becomes a thing of challenge to a Christian who does not start from these first principles of understanding our Father. So our last transmission was on that. And today we're going to continue from where we stopped. Now, I want to call your attention back to Luke 11 from verse 2 and Matthew 6 verse 9. They're both saying the same thing. If you can open the scriptures, please, and look at Luke 11 2. Now, there's something that she'd mentioned regarding prayer. Again, we are focusing on New Covenant praying because, I mean, I think most Christians, there's a kind of default setting that we tend to have where we pray with a whole covenant mindset. And that's why there's a lot of unbelief today in the place of prayer. And I wanted you to take note of Hebrews chapter 8 that says if there was nothing wrong with that old covenant, there would be no need for a new one. There's a new covenant in force at the moment. And you know one thing? The Bible says it's based on better promises. So you see, the deal is a better deal. Who doesn't like a good deal? It says it's better promises. It says, so why would he want to go to the one with a bad deal? The old covenant is a bad deal for Christians. Very bad deal. Hebrews 8 says, this new covenant is based on better what? Promises. It's a better deal for you.
I can say even good. So it's a better. So it doesn't matter. So people feel like they're enjoying the old covenant is good enough. Yeah. But you know, there's something better.
Yeah.
That's, so you need to upgrade.
Yeah, you have to. And then please, if you listen to our previous two or three transmissions, we made a contrast between praying in both covenants. And so, but you do yourself a lot of great good by actually availing yourself of the opportunity. So let's get on today and see what the Lord has to say to us. Luke 11, if you can read that, please, from verse 2. And let's see what he has to say.
And he said unto them.
This is the response of Jesus to the person that asking the question of teachers to pray.
When you pray, say, Father.
So we have addressed that, our Father. What's the next
thing? Which art in heaven.
Oh, that's it. The next thing Jesus addresses, first he addressed the paternity, which is what we've talked about in the last transmission. And suddenly, Jesus moved beyond paternity. He talked about location. Can you see? He said, our Father. Then he says, who? Art in heaven. So I want to call your attention to that word, our Father, who is in heaven. Now, you would want to ask the question, why would Jesus be concerned about telling his disciples that when you pray, I don't just want you to address the Father, I also need to talk about the location as well. I mean, there has to be a reason. There's something the Holy Ghost is trying to tell the believer about this fact that Jesus didn't just make reference to the paternity of the Christian, the Father. He also made a second reference to the location of the Father. Why is that significant to you and I? How is that important that when you pray, there's an approach of that in your prayer? Follow us through as we begin to delve into the Word of God to bring this out. In what Jesus had in mind when he made reference to that. Now, quickly, let's go to Colossians 3 as we begin to explore this location issue, this location of the Father. Now, he says, the Father who is in heaven, who is in heaven, is based in heaven. Now, let's read from Colossians 3 from verse 1. How does that affect your prayer life in the new covenant? How does that revolutionize your own personal prayer life? Come into Father in this revelation. Now, look at what it says, Colossians 3, verse 1. Now, watch this. Colossians 3, 1. Yeah, you can go, please.
If you then be risen with Christ.
That's a question. It's asking you as a believer, if you then be risen with Christ. Now, if you were with us in our last transmission, we made a point known. And we want to reemphasize that point so that what we are talking about today can make sense. What was that point? We said Hebrews chapter 12, verse 8 and verse 9 tells the believer that God is the Father of your spirit. He's not the Father of your flesh. We've established that in the last transmission. So when he's talking to you, God doesn't talk to your mind. He doesn't talk to your body. He talks to your spirit. So in that understanding, you have to read Colossians 3, verse 1. He says that if you then be what? Risen with Christ. He's not talking to your body. Your body is here on earth. Whatever, I don't know where you are listening to this transmission today. Either you are in Europe, you are in Africa, you are in Asia, South America, you are still here on the earth. So when he says, if you then be risen with Christ as a Christian, he's not, of course, not talking to your body. He's talking to your spirit, man. He says, if your spirit, man, is risen with Christ as a believer, he says, you have changed address. I'll repeat that. Your spirit person, whether spirit man or spirit woman, your born again spirit has changed address. He says, you are risen with Christ. So it means when you were told that Christ died and on the third day he rose again and went up to heaven, it says when you went up, you also, your spirit man also changed address. You were risen with Christ. Now you begin to understand very soon why Christ made location the second important point in the Lord's Prayer. Now go on, please.
Seek those things which are above.
Now this will be consistent with what we said. The other time that he says, seek those things. If you have another translation, like the NIV translation, the NLT, the Good News Bible, most of them refuse to use the word seek those things. They said, set your mind. It means they are simply saying, if you know where your spirit man is now located, if you know the address of your spirit man, then you do something about your what? Your mind. This was what we said in the last transmission, that God never speaks to your mind. Can you see? God spoke to our spirit and told our spirit where it is located and says, you should do something about what? Your mind. Can you see that? That's why we said God doesn't address your mind. You address your mind. God addresses your spirit and you address your mind. You cannot get this twisted as a Christian. Now he says, I told you to set your mind on things above, but I only told you to set your mind on things above because I'm telling you that your spirit man has relocated. Can you see? The reason why you can address your mind is because it must be addressed in the revelation that your spirit man has been relocated. Now again, this location thing is what we are focusing on today, and we are asking the question, location report. Where's your Father? That's the question. Now, go on, please. Now, what does it say then?
Where Christ seated on the right hand of God.
Okay. Now, this is not making a lot of spiritual sense. It's simply saying the reason I told you your new location is because in your new location, it's not just you that you are located there. It said Christ is also what? Seated in that new location. Now, it's not just Christ seated there. The Father is in that same location. It said where Christ is seated at the what? Right hand of what? Of the Father, of God. It means this is a very serious location report, analysis, is telling the believer that I told you that you have risen with Christ. Now, that's a good thing to see. But I also went forward to tell you, it's not just that you are risen with Christ. You are in the same position, the same location where the Father himself is located. He said Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Now, please, I want to call your attention back to Luke 11:2 or to Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. That when Jesus said, our Father, who what? Are in heaven. This is sounding to you, or to me, I mean, I'm not sure if you're getting this, but even though Christ told them, he told the disciples who were not under the new covenant. We've established that before. The new covenant did not start until the blood was shed. Matthew 26, 28. It means they were supposed to pray in that sense as they were. They were praying to the God who is what? In heaven. And they were what? On earth. Because there were people who were not yet part of the new covenant. But it seems that it's a change of vocabulary for you as a believer who is in a new covenant. It says for you, your spirit man has relocated, is seated with Christ in the heavenlies. And not just that, even the Father is in that same place. It says Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father and you are seated with Christ. Hey, this is serious matter. So when you are praying then that my Father who what? You are in heaven. You are not just talking about where your Father is seated. You are talking about your own location as well. So there's a big contrast now. Unlike in before the covenant, where when they pray, God is in heaven and they are down here on what? On earth. So anytime you address the location, that's your location as well, your spirit man location. Now, how is this going to affect your prayer life? We're going to find out very soon. Now, go on, please.
Verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth.
Now, the fact is, before we continue with Colossians 3, let's see what the Spirit of Grace has to say to us about this location issue. How does this affect? Why are we talking about this today? How does it make a big difference in your prayer life? And why was Christ concerned about location when he's talking about the Lord's Prayer? Now, look quickly. Now, we're going to come back to Colossians 3 very soon. Don't close it. Go to Ecclesiastes 5. Now, the Bible will tell us how, when a Christian then kneels down and says, my Father who is in heaven, it says the way you think about this can affect the effectiveness of your prayer life in the new covenant. Now, look at Ecclesiastes 5. See what it says. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2. Now, read what it says. Now, watch this.
Be not rash.
Be not rash.
With thy mouth.
With your mouth.
And let not thy heart.
Okay.
Be hasty.
Okay.
To utter anything before God.
Okay, he's talking about prayer now. So, watch this. This is talking about you coming to the place of prayer. Now, go on.
For God is in heaven.
Okay.
And thou upon earth.
Okay, that's it. Now he says, well, the reason I told you the way you should approach God in the place of prayer is because I'm simply trying to say, well, you know what? You have two different locations. You on earth is in heaven. So it means, come on, at that stage, it means there's a way you should even talk. There's a way you should even speak in the place of prayer. It should affect your communication level. Because it's just like if you're talking to somebody and it's not the same level as you. It's in a different location. Somebody is there in a high-class, eyebrow area and you are down there. And he says there's a way you can actually approach him. I mean, you have to even stand in fear to approach him. You can't just approach him anyhow and come boldly. You know, the Bible says, let us come what? Boldly before the throne of what? Grace. You couldn't do that. How can you come boldly before the throne of grace when you are here and is there? Come on. You cannot do that. Ecclesiastes 5:2 is simply trying to remind the believer that your understanding of location can affect the way you pray. Ecclesiastes 5:2 says location matters. Location is everything. He said, and that's the reason why Christ addressed the location matter in the second phrase of the Lord's Prayer. Here Ecclesiastes says, because God is in heaven, and because you have the mentality that you are here on earth, it says you're going to watch how you talk and how you communicate. It affects everything about your communication in the place of prayer.
Yeah, thank you for saying that, because as we're talking, I was just having the insight into this in the, even in the psychology and counseling world, based on my profession, we know how to talk to people, as to patients, and, you know, the best way to communicate, you just have to stay on the same level, the same position. Like, if you're sitting down, you just have to sit down. If the person is standing up, so most of the time when you're sitting, you have to bring your client, your patient, to sit down, just like you, because you just have to be on the same plane, even in the positioning. Okay. So we can understand that he was able to look at it in the light of what the Lord's Prayer, we're saying, you're at 11, because you must just be on the same plane, even on the physical, when I talk about location, physically, psychologically, just have to be on the plane, on the same page. So that's why they, when they talk in communication, they use the word on the same page. We'll be on the same plane.
Mm-hmm.
So for understanding, you don't have any business of communicating. You can't have any effective communication. Even if you don't have, you just be on the same plane, on the same page. So if you're sitting, he's sitting. So we just have to be, you can't be on heaven and you be on heart like that. And you can have any effective communication. And that is what the New Covenant usher did. So living off from the level of the ecclesiastes in the time of the preachers, thinking he's in heaven and we are on earth.
And, now
and bridging the gap.
It says you have to, there's a way you can, there's something you cannot even say. That's
yes,
what
yes, because that's a long gap between heaven and earth. We know how far that is. So the Lord bridged the gap for us. So to make us to be on the same page and on the same plane, so we can have that level of communication of somebody speaking your language on the same plane that you understand.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be a very great disservice for anyone after the on the from this day, like we shared so last
in
week,
that
on the, in that day, and then the day has happened,
John,
and somebody is still praying as
John,
if he's still on the heart. And the day has happened. We need to be awakened to that. We need to get the news. You know, the day has happened. So you cannot just pray. You are not on the heart anymore, and so you cannot pray on a different plane, being on the heart, where it's not going to change position for you.
Mm.
It's not going to come because you are refusing to come up. You understand it that you are in heaven and say, oh, it's going to come down to you. He has come down to bring you up. So that is the thing. So you need to understand this location where it is, and that is where you can have communication. And you know that prayer is about communication. So you want effective communication by being the same plane. You understand? Whether you are in the heaven plane, you can be in the same page, in the same understanding.
Amen.
That is what.
Amen. Thank you for that insight. Thank you for that revelation that you brought into this discussion. Now let us say this. Now, from what we said before in the past, we said some of the troubles that we have in our prayer lives, some of the ineffectiveness that we're experiencing at the moment, strange enough, is because some people have misquoted and misunderstood what Jesus meant to say. And that's why the Bible tells us that we should rightly divide the word of truth. Have you noticed when Christ was born, there was a prophetic word over his life? When the Bible says, when he was talking to his mother, it says, this child shall be for the rising and the falling of men. Unfortunately, some Christians, the reason why they are stuck spiritually is because they misquoted or misinterpreted what Jesus was saying. Now, in Luke 11:2, when some Christians read our Father and they read who hath or who is in heaven, the psychology that he painted in their mind is, oh, my Father is in heaven and I'm on the earth. And they say, well, Jesus said so. But of course, he said so. Now, the way you read that would be from the past. Are you reading from the old covenant mindset? Ecclesiastes 5:2. Are you reading from the New Covenant mindset, Colossians 3, can you see? So it is not what Jesus said that's the issue. It is how do you read
it?
And that's what Jesus said in the scriptures, in Mark chapter 4. It says, what says your Lord? How do you
read it?
It is the reading that causes confusion. Either you're going to rise or fall with the very words of Jesus. So that's what we are presenting today. That when Christ said our Father, and it goes to the next phrase, we are focusing on the second phrase of the Lord's Prayer. Oh, he is in heaven. And what does that mean to you? And then the reason why you need to answer that question is, take note, before I began to talk about give us this day and all those kind of things that we are more interested in, he first addressed location. Location matters. Location matters. And that's what we're focusing on.
If it weren't important, it wouldn't have been included in that.
As a second, after our Father, it was the next thing. Let's talk about location. Location is critical. Now, back to this point, Ecclesiastes 5:2, we can conclude and summarize, simply says, well, how somebody understands location is all about what's going to happen to them in their place of prayer. He says, God is in heaven, you're on earth. You know what? There's so far you can go in what you say. That's what Ecclesiastes 5:2 is saying. So we want to call your attention to that as we continue with other verses.
Yes, I would like to reiterate the word of Jesus when he was addressing the people to and said, it's not about what you read and how do you read it?
How do you
so
read?
So challenges, there are two questions there. Some are not even reading at all.
Mm.
That is even bad. They are just in a poor shape and state.
Mm.
So what do you read? But you cannot just stop at what do you read.
Mm.
How do you read it? It's very, very
the
important.
The old covenant mindset or the new covenant mindset?
So if it
was
not important, you would not have said, how do you read it? If you were just going with the knowledge, you know, the head knowledge alone. And that is why I said in last week episode, I had to stress it that you the perfect example of understanding how to balance the Old and New Testament is Christ. He knows how to use the law rightfully. So
we talk about drug abuse. You can go and check that transmission.
on drug abuse to see that how you can use the right medication for the that is right for you, fit for you, custom for you, and is specifically formulated for you based on your position, your condition, and the time that you are in. Because some people of you see that some of these pharmacological formulations, they are not for the time. You know, that is not what is prevalent now. So it is for your time, for the era. So there's that there are some things that they say, some medication for pre this era, and so this is it. And that's why we're telling you to understand what you read and how do you read it is much more important. And you know
when what is written.
What is written, you see, when the Enoch was reading, it's good to read. He was saying that, do you understand this? So understanding what is being read is even much more important than what you read. So you cannot stop about reading alone. How do you read these things? How do you read the word of Jesus himself?
How do you read it? Is the word of Christ your confusion or your clarity? That's
and
the point.
With that word, are you rising or falling with it?
That's
the same word.
Thank you for that. Now, if you want to check out that verse, you can read Luke 10, verse 26. That's where it says, what says your law? How do you read it? For you, for me, if you want to check further on that, Luke 10, 26. So let's go back to Colossians 3 and continue the discourse on this location report of where's your father. Now, Colossians 3, you're back there. Now, which verse did you stop in then?
I stop at 3.
Verse 2. Now, what have we learned so far in Colossians 3? Colossians 3 is simply saying few things. It says, number one, Christ is reason. Number two, your spirit man. He has also reason with what? Christ. So you're the same location with Christ. And number three, he says that location is the Father's location as well, because Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. So you can see your location at the moment. So when you say, our Father who has what? In heaven, what you are simply saying is, you're talking about your location, your spirit location as well. So you're not disconnected, as it were, from the Father. You are in the same location. You're talking from the same location.
Yes, I would like to even say exciting to see how that verse started in verse 1 of chapter 3 of Colossians, where it started. He said, if you be risen, so if you accept that you're risen, so it's not going to be on anybody. So if you don't accept that you're risen with Christ, definitely, then you stay on the head plane. So it's a challenge for you to see, it's a conditional statement. If you accept this, if this is true, then this other is true. So if you do not accept that you are
this, then that.
That, yes.
That's it.
So if this is not true for you, if you don't believe that you are risen with Christ, then anyway, then what we are talking does not even concern you at all. Then you need to know that you are risen with Christ. So you need to really accept. It's a statement for acceptance. If you accept that you are risen with Christ, then you know that your location has changed.
So for people
to really understand that the location has changed, I understand this location thing that we're talking about is about them even accepting to know that they are risen with Christ. So if they could, then you cannot join the dots and know that if you are risen with Christ, then you are seated with him.
Amen. And location, like we said, is everything. I mean, if you notice, as soon as he mentioned location, then in Colossians 3, he began to talk about set your mind on things above. Okay, so he says, set your mind. Now, let's say this. What actually changes your life, or what, in a way, you know, your character, your personality, your experience every day, your day-to-day life experience. We naturally live from our mind. For example, your thought process, your imagination, all from your mind. And it's simply saying we cannot even cause any revolution in your mind. We can't cause any revolution in your lifestyle or anything unless you first understand the fact that you've got a location. And you're located in the same place that the Father is. Again, if you're wondering, what are we talking about? You are here on the planet. Okay, we said it in our previous speech. When God speaks, he speaks to your spirit. He's the Father of spirit. So we're talking about your born-again spirit, your recreated spirit.
So before you go ahead praying, you need to understand that communication becomes easier, much better when you understand that you're in the same language, you're using the same language on the same plane.
You're in the same location. Same location as the Father.
So you know that you're not talking above his head. You know, he's not talking above your head. You can say the same, you're on the same plane. That is the thing. So and that is why you need to establish that and establish your location. So before you go ahead and be muttering words and running with words of what it is, please.
Which is why Christ to talk about location before he talk about petition. You see, before the prayer of petition, he was first addressing location in the Lord's Prayer.
So let's get the location right. Let's settle this thing right.
That's it.
That is what we're sharing this morning.
Thank you. Now, if you go on, please, from verse 3. We're still on Colossians 3. We're still trying to glean what the Spirit has to say about how does this affect the psyche of a Christian? How does it revolutionize your prayer life? You can go on from verse 3, Colossians 3, 3, please.
For ye are dead,
okay,
and your life is hid with Christ in God.
The reason he said that, he says if you're doubting your location, you have to understand the fact that you are hid in Christ in God. It means wherever Christ moves to, That's where you are at the moment. So it means for you to deny your location, you have to then deny the fact that you don't believe you are eat with Christ. It says if you eat with Christ, for example, if I put you in an aeroplane or whatever, it means I don't have to, if I want to move you from the earth into the skies, I don't have to physically throw you. As long as the plane or the aircraft can move up to the skies, if you are inside, you automatically move up to the skies as well. He's saying if you believe that your life is eat with Christ in God, he said, does it matter whether you want to, you don't have to do any gymnastics for you to get up to that location. Do you believe Christ is in that location? Yes. Okay, that's your location. Why? Because you are eat in Christ. You are inside him. So you are whatever he is. Now, this is serious. Locational report is saying you, your spirit man, is located with Christ in heaven at the moment. Even as we are talking, you're located with Christ in heaven. Now, this thing we are talking about, how strange is this? I mean, what is the significance of this? Is this some kind of philosophy or psychology? Sorry, it's not. This is the word of God. And we will not be talking about it this morning unless this is really critical to your prayer life. Of course, Christ will have no business making reference to location in the Lord's Prayer before petition if it wasn't that critical.
Yes. Thank you for that clarity, because I know some people might just be watching us and be wondering, oh, okay, now that I know that location is important, I need to be on the same plane. How do I get there?
Now,
how do I transport myself to heaven? Since I know that, how do I transport myself to heaven? You know that that is the best way to go, and the easiest way is just get into Christ, get in Christ.
If you're in Christ,
Christ is there, you just like the airplane,
you are there. You are up.
You are where he is. Mm. So wherever he is, if he's in heaven, then definitely you're in heaven. So just get in Christ. You know, everything is been solved. So you don't need to know how to go and where do I need to be changing every minute or so. You get in your Christ. And that's why I say Christ, when you cry, oh, the verse, that's
yeah, you can go. You can go on. You can read it.
So he's telling you that Christ is your life. You just get into Christ. You are hid in Christ. And you understand that you are in Christ. And Christ, you are Christ. And Christ is yours. Then you know that you are wherever he goes. You are wherever he is.
Mm.
And so if he's in heaven, then you are in heaven. So equation solved.
That's it. You are wherever Christ is. I mean, your spirit man is in heaven as we talk. Now, we're going to show you some practical things in the scriptures as this affects your prayer life and knocking out those false ideologies in the place of prayer. You can read verse 4 and verse 5, and let's look at that quickly.
Verse 4, okay. When Christ, who is our life,
amen,
shall appear,
mm-hmm,
then shall ye also appear with him.
Because you are in him. You are wherever he is. That's the point. Go on now. Look at the next verse. Verse 5.
Verse 5.
Yes.
Mortify therefore your members which are upon the head.
Now, that's the point. Now, it would mean that the scripture is trying to call your attention to the fact that you have two addresses.
Yeah.
Now, the reason why this is important is because we're not even talking about location as the thing we are concerned about. We are only concerned about location because Christ was concerned about location when he was going to teach them to pray. So you can see where we're coming from. Now, he's saying that mortify or deaden or kill, if you want to use the word, because the word mortify is the same root word for mortuary. Mortify.
Yeah,
he says mortify your members which are upon the earth. Now, that's something should point out to you in that verse. He said you have members that are upon what?
The earth.
It means you also have members that are not on the earth. This is where some Christians get confused. So when they go on their knees, they say, our Father. Now, he says, as soon as you say our Father, don't forget that some of your members are here. But you have members that are not upon the earth. That's why he says, mortify the ones that are what? Upon the earth. The one that is not upon the earth, that one is actually the one that is seated with Christ. So you have two addresses as we are talking. Your address number one, in fact, have you noticed, before he talk about your address on the earth, he talk about your address which is in heaven. Look at the strategy of Colossians 3. For most of us, when we are talking, we first address the one that is on the earth before we even think about the address that's in the heavenly places. Colossians 3 verse 1 started with your location. He says, no, I want to tell you where you are seated. I will talk first to your what? Spirit man. And as soon as I finish talking to your spirit man in Colossians 3 verse 4, then verse 5 is, let's talk about your second address. Your members that are upon the earth. Can you see that? It means, that's why we can boldly say that our Father who art in heaven, once you say that word from your mouth in the place of prayer, it should impart faith to your spirit. You're saying, let's talk about our location. My Father and I, we are in the same location. Let's talk about our location first. He said, before you even address your members on the earth. Have you noticed then, in Luke 11 from verse 2, when it says, our Father who art in heaven, watch this. It said, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done what? On earth. First words he addressed the location before the second location. You also as well, in your prayer life, you cannot twist that strategy. The reason why so many Christians are confused in prayer is because we try to put the earthly location first before the heavenly location. It says, no, mortify your members that are upon the earth, Colossians 3:5. That was just after four verses of addressing the first location, which is what we have to follow as well. Follow Jesus in a strategy in the Lord's Prayer and see what he has to say to you.
Yes, today we are just getting the assignment from Tactos to set things in order.
Location report, where is your father? That's the question.
So to set things in order, we need to understand and to establish this order and to bring our attention to it. That's what Colossians chapter 3 was saying, the order of the things. So to the one, they address the heavenly location to them, the earthly, and the heavenly instructions. So the instructions of what to set your heart on heaven for the things of the heaven before telling you what to do to the ones on the heart that are dead and mortified.
Can you see mortify? He gave the job to you for the one on the earth. Have you not just watched that language of the scripture? You mortify the members on the earth. Your job, because God will not speak to that one. That's what he said.
Because the one of your spirit, which is, when some people are wondering which of their members is the spirit, your spirit man that is, that's the member that is in the heaven, and the Lord has taken care of that job himself, because if you have Christ, you have, that one is already set, you're already hid with Christ. And that's what is in consonance with what we shared last week about you, that the responsibility of your mind and your body is on you to make sure that what is in your heart, what is in the spirit, gets into translated into your body. And that is why you have that instructions in verse 5 that you should deaden the body, walk on it,
the members that are upon
the heart, because the one in your spirit, your spirit which is not on the heart is already having the life of Christ, because you say your Christ which is our life shall appear. So you already have the life of God inside of you, so you don't need to work on that, you don't need to do any extra work on that, and you can't have any extra credit for that, cannot labor on that. Christ has done that and accomplished that. But the one you are going to bring that to find expression, what is in your spirit, which is Christ, to find expression, and that is what in 5, and giving you that the workout or not the workload of what to do, and it is still in consonance with what is in the Lord's Prayer, telling you addressing the heavenly location first before
we talk about the
earth. So we see this order. We cannot just twist things. We cannot just do things anyhow. We cannot just in a rush or in a way that appeals to us and feel like let's do this one first and the other. And that is why it's telling those people that are handling God's word that they know that you cannot be talking of verse 5 without talking about verse 1 or 2, 3, 4. So you cannot be teaching people to mortify their members that is on earth without
the members that are in heaven. They've got heavenly members. You've got two addresses as a Christian.
Without establishing and putting them in the knowledge of that,
your members in heaven.
But they're in heaven, and that will set the affection. So you cannot just jump in a hurry or just be focusing on one without doing. So we have to get the order. And so it is for us to go and look at these things and look at the order. That is the thing we're talking about, not just knowing the head knowledge, just rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
Getting to the order and see how the thing is. And we cannot just rush ahead. And so we saw the paternity question. Yes, from the first prayer, we talk about our Father. Then about location, we cannot just say,
I'm
sure some people have read through and run through this, the Lord's Prayer, without even minding all those fatherhood and the location thing. I say, let's just get to the prayer point. They are looking for prayer points all about. And so if they are here today and you are fishing us, you are the one that always pick out prayer points. You are just looking for prayer points. And when you open the Bible, just for you to look for prayer points, the one that looks like prayer point for you, you really know that you need to set your things in order and know that it doesn't come like that. Before you get all these prayer points, you have to establish what the Father who is, you have to establish what the location is, you have to establish the instruction that is for the heavenly location, that you don't think about it. As long as you have Christ, it is settled. Because some people really want to walk and be praying on those things that is already settled. They really want to be part of it. They want to participate.
So your life is hid with Christ in God.
So they really want to participate in that, in the work that is completed. You know, how foolish is that? So you feel like it really establishes it for you in Colossians chapter 3 that this one is already settled. Just
hid
you understand
Christ,
it. You just what you need to know about that, just to understand, as long as Christ is risen, you cannot refute that. You can't. You are even too small to refute that. You know, history has shown over and over and proven with irrefutable proofs that he has risen, and you can't see it. One of the rest of Theophilus, with irrefutable truth that he has risen. You're too late. You can't even do anything about that. So if you accept that he has risen, that one is already done. It's a done deal.
So you are risen with him as well.
Well, and you're already, your spirit is set. You're set for life. That is the thing. You're set for life. Your spirit man is set for life. You can't do anything about that. It's set for life. You just need to understand that. That is what, and that is what we are sharing with you, is you to understand that you are set for life. But for your body, it is your job, it is your responsibility, and it takes for you. You'll be able to walk well on the body if you understand this in the spirit, because you are copying from what it is in your spirit, just like we shared in the last episode. Getting the mirror of God's word to know what is in your spirit.
You can't get your spirit by feeling. You can't get your spirit by saying how you think.
So it, you walk in that confidence of what it is, of what you see in the mirror of God's word, and the mirror of God's word is where your spirit is, to be able to bring your body and everything to line, in alignment with what is established, what is set forth in your spirit.
Amen. Thank you for that insight. So it means for those of us who believe in the power, in the potency of prayer, we have a responsibility in the spirit. It means you don't really run down to start praying and all that you first understand the fact that you've got a location to start with. And you have to listen to the location report in the Bible. That's what we're focusing on. Now, it seems we've started actually open up a tap. We've actually opened up a fountain. And we have to really follow that, you know, the evidence where it leads. We've then established that it seems then, for somebody who is not born again, for somebody who is not saved, who is not a Christian, they have only one address. And that's on the earth. That's it. But for those who are risen with Christ, for those who are Christians, it will seem that the Bible is trying to call our attention that you have two different addresses. There is one at the moment where you are living, and you have a second address, which is actually in heaven. But it will seem that the Bible started, or is much more concerned about your heavenly address before he actually talked about the earthly address. That's why it says, mortify your members that are upon the earth. It means that presupposes that you have members that are not here on the earth. So let's see, this kind of dual location, how does that affect your effectiveness? So when you say, our Father, who is in heaven, you're saying, well, Father, let's talk about our address, because I'm actually seated with you in the heavenly places. I'm with you. And what does that do to you? It means you are saying, our Father, who was in heaven, who is in heaven. It means it switches your understanding. That the very words you're saying switches your understanding, switches the reality of your prayer before you even start praying. And then it sets you in a position where everything you are concerned about, the thing that is troubling your soul, the very reason why you want to pray the prayer of petition, you just see those things beneath you on the earth. You are, see that it switches your understanding. It switches your perception. It's a game changer. That's why Christ made it the second phrase in the Lord's Prayer to address the issue of location. Now, quickly, let's look at Jesus. You have something to say?
Yes, before we leave, if that verse is not even enough for you, we encourage you to go to some other verses in the scripture. We have the Bible replicated with so many scriptures telling about our citizenship is of heaven, where we are, you know. That kind of, you even see Abraham, we will walk without understanding of these two addresses, like the opening word I shared this evening. That he was saying that he's seeking, seeking a city that has foundation, which be there, Michael is God. You know, that kind of, you have to come into that awareness of who you are and be able to understand this. There's a lot it does to your thinking. There's a lot it does to your walk with the Lord. And you see that Abraham walking, though he was still here, building tents, and yes, he's still calling father of this earth, father of nation. So he's somebody of substance around. Even on the plane of the head, but he knows that it's of heaven, he's seeking that. It's of this, our citizenship is of heaven from where we came. So you really need to really understand this.
Now, there's something you actually talked about, and I think I might just want to quickly say something about that before we go to the next verses we want to look at. I mean, even though I would say this is not going to be our focus today, but it just could be a kind of digression. Every time you read the Bible, we would expect you to come up with verses. You can show us this on our page if you actually have any concern about this. Every time you read the Bible and it makes reference of disconnecting us from God who is in heaven, I'm talking about New Covenant scripture. Every time it disconnects and says, for example, when you quoted in Philippians that says, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we expect to see. Can you see? That sounds like it's saying we have our citizenship in heaven and we are expecting the Savior to show up. Every time he says that, check the next few verses. He was talking about your body. That's why it says, from when we expect a Savior, who will change our vile body. Because, like, again, if it's your spirit, it will never say that. It will never say that. If it's your spirit, it will say you are in the same position. You are in the same location. It will say no. You can't be saying, I'm on earth, my father is in heaven. It says no. Anytime you, the only time you have a right to have that kind of thinking is if you're talking in terms of your body, which has been paid for, but not yet redeemed. But when it's talking about your spirit man, it says you are reasoning with him. In fact, it seems that the spirit man, there is no gap. It seems that the spirit man is saying, well, he's not in heaven, I'm on earth. The spirit man never says that. The only time you can ever say, God is in heaven, I'm on earth, I'm expecting him to show up, is that only your body can say that. He said your spirit man can never say that and should never say. If your spirit man says that, it puts doubt and unbelief in you. And it's very hard for you to be able to receive from God and walk in dominion that Christ paid for. But again, I said, that's not really what we are focusing on today. There will be other times on this exposé that we're going to do proper exegesis on those kind of verses. But again, quickly, as we continue, let's go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3 from verse, let's look at verse 13.
13?
Yeah, for a believer to impart faith and not to allow wrong concepts and ideologies to block what you want to receive in petition prayer. These are things you need to understand about your location. Now,
John 3:13.
This talks about Jesus. Now, the background of John 3:13, let's give the background. The context is it was when Nicodemus came to Jesus and all that kind of stuff about the born-again thing and all that. Now, see what Christ has to say in John 3:13 after he responded to Nicodemus. Again, because of time, we couldn't read the whole thing from verse 1. We just want to go straight to the response, part of the response that Christ gave Nicodemus. What does he say in John 3:13?
And no man
has
ascended up to heaven.
And Jesus said, no man has gone up to heaven.
But he that came down,
from
heaven,
okay,
even the Son of Man,
okay,
which is in heaven.
I'm not sure whether you have which is in heaven in your Bible or which was in heaven in your Bible. Now, you see, a lot of scholars in the so many years ago, people like Jameson Fawcett, people like Diggs, and lots of them, this has been a verse that has caused lots of confusion for them. They found this very confusing. In fact, some newer translations are attempting to make sense because in the original Greek, that's what it says. He said, the Son of Man, who came from what? Heaven. Oh, Jesus, I understand you came from heaven. You are talking to Nicodemus now. But he said, who is in heaven? Mm-hmm. Now, some are about to change to who was in heaven because they believe that he's left heaven. But if you go and check the original Greek emphasizes that Christ said, the Son of Man, who is talking to you now, he is in heaven as he's talking to you now. And you see, what we are trying to point out is, why was Christ's prayer life so effective? Why would Jesus say, Father, I thank you at the grave of Lazarus? You see, some Christians, we want to see the dead rise again. We want to comfort Lazarus from the dead. Well, you cannot just do that unless you understand the same perspective in which Christ prayed. He said, Father, I thank you. You always hear me before the tomb of Lazarus.
You hear me always.
Jesus saying that even though I was on the earth and I was talking to Nicodemus, I also understood that my spirit man as Christ is in heaven. Not will be in heaven when I die and resurrect. That's why when I see Christians who are saying heaven at last, who are saying that we want to go to heaven. What I tell such Christians is this. You know what? I've risen with Christ.
I'm
seated with Christ in heaven. Sorry, I'm not for me. It's not heaven at last. It's heaven
ever
now.
At
heaven at first. Because the Bible says, if you then be risen with Christ, my spirit man is talking from heaven. Christ is saying to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, listen. Nobody has been to heaven except the Son of Man who is in heaven. Oh. He didn't say, oh, we go to heaven when he resurrects. Jesus is saying, it is true. I will resurrect and go to heaven. But anyway, my spirit man, as I'm talking to you now, is in heaven. I'm quoting Jesus, John 3:13. Check your Bible, get a good concordance, and do a study on that verse. And unless you as a Christian can come up with the same understanding, sorry, your prayer life will be wobble and wobble, up and down, because you will start to try to talk to a God who is in heaven, believing that your own location is different, believing that your spirit man is on earth. And Ecclesiastes 5:2 says, when you have such mentality, it affects what you say in the place of prayer.
Yes, so we need to stress and let our viewers know that heaven for us is heaven at first.
No, it says we already reason with Christ.
So heaven started for us at first.
Before we can talk about our body, he said, first, let's talk about where you are at the moment. It's heaven at first. And have you noticed then, it's in the same spirit of Christ Jesus. Before Jesus actually died and resurrected and went to heaven, we thought that was when Christ went to heaven. No, Christ had always been in heaven all through his earthly ministry. As John 3:13 confirms, he was always in heaven anyway. His spirit man was always in heaven, all through. It was just his body that physically went to what? Heaven after he died. And that applies to me, to us, and to you as well, if you get this revelation. That when we die, it's our body that joins our what? spirit in his location. And that's why, if you notice, Hebrews 12, the similarities we are saying today, we are not probably going to go deep, I mean, maybe to check the verses. Please check out Hebrews 12. When it says, you have come to what? Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. He says to the spirit of just men made perfect. The spirit of men is already there. It's your body that goes to meet your spirit. That's what happens when you die. So for Christians who are saying heaven at last, it's a sorry case. It completely doesn't make any sense. Because it means you don't get this revelation. It means, I wonder how Christians pray prayers, our Father who art in heaven. When you say you art in heaven, what are you thinking about when you make that phrase in the Lord's Prayer? That's what we are addressing today on this knockout series.
Yeah, you know, some people are even saying heaven at last, but some, you know, they say heaven in between for most of the time. So there's some attitudes and some prayer points or some things. When they go into presence, they feel like they're in heaven now, and though they come out of heaven and say, Lord, as we come into your presence today, they come out and go in. That is, they have songs and prayer points that brings them to heaven, and they say, as we come into your presence, as we come into heaven today, I get us through entrances. But you can see the life of Jesus when he was addressing the Lazarus in the grave. Father, I know that you hear me always. So your position is not about transient position, that you can be in heaven occasionally. They feel like you are transporting between heaven and earth. No, that is not. You are set. Your heart, your spirit is set with the Lord in heaven. So you need to understand that. And that's why he has the confidence. You hear me always. So you know your position is not transient. What we are talking about this location is that on some occasions you can be in heaven, maybe some attitudes of prayer points or some way you come into to meetings with some other people and everything, that you are in heaven at that time, or you feel like you are in heaven. So some people, they have some experiences and they feel like, this is heaven. Heaven on earth.
That meeting was heaven on earth. Okay.
Heaven on earth. So it's just a transient.
But that one says, if you are seated with Christ. You're already in heaven. Seated. You are seated. That's a perfect
location. So people
location.
Really like going for programs, monthly programs, yearly programs, where is heaven or not, because that's their time of experience, only heaven or not there, when it is not transient. So we are calling you to a life to know that it is not a transient thing. It's not something they can be, it happens once. And that is why those people come for talk programs, because that's the time they can have experience heaven. Or not. That's where they thought they can experience heaven or not. So we are telling you that heaven is first for you. If you are risen with Christ, you have that. You're already from heaven where we came. So that is where we are. And that is where our spirit is. It is our body that will join in resurrection. That is why his work is on the resurrection of our body.
It's a multiplier member.
So for those people, the dead in Christ, and for those of us that will be alive while he comes, so we see our body will join where our spirit has always been.
He said, you have come to the spirit of just men made perfect.
So our body will come to join what? Where our spirit has always been. With the Lord. And that is it. So really, I pray that this exposition revolutionize your thinking.
Our Father who is in heaven.
In the Lord, that you are from heaven. It's not heaven at last. Heaven was at first for you. That was the beginning, the basis. And you can see the pattern all through the scriptures in Colossians. You see it in Matthew. And with your things, unless Christ is not risen for you, unless if you can disprove that Christ is not risen for you, then you're out of this. If it is risen for you, then you are in heaven, brother, you are in heaven, sister. I think that should be a huge relief.
Heaven at first.
Should be a huge relief. For everybody under the label of force burden, of burden of how to make it to get to heaven at last. So on that label today, there is a release for you to understand that if you are seated in Christ, if Christ is risen, then you are in heaven.
Heaven at first. That's
your spirit is in heaven. And if your spirit is in heaven, you are going to walk on your body to join what your spirit, you know. That is it. That's why you have the word of mortifying. It is your body. Your spirit is in heaven.
So God is not waiting for your body to determine you're going to make heaven. I mean, if you notice, there are some things we are saying. It's either we've addressed some of them in full in the past, or there will be things we are addressing in the future. If you have come to join this page or you are watching our transmission, again, we have always said we are in for the long haul. We're going to address lots of things over the next few weeks, few years, and decades as the Lord, the tardies is coming. But you see, there was a time we did address the case of somebody who was even caught in sleeping with his father's wife. In 1 Corinthians 5, Apostle Paul said, deliver him to Satan. And the reason is because that person wasn't going to repent anyway. He is born again, a believer, but he wasn't going to repent. And the Apostle Paul says, deliver him to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that the spirit man can be saved. It means that guy, his spirit is already there, but he says, unfortunately, he will suffer loss in his body because he was not allowing his location in heaven to mortify his members on the earth. So that guy seems to have two addresses. That same guy in 1 Corinthians 5, he had two addresses. It wasn't that they were not waiting for him to finish here to make. He said he's already. The guy was already in heaven. It's just that he says, well, Paul said, his spirit man will make it, but it's just that he will suffer loss in his body. And he says, I don't want you as a Christian to suffer loss in your body. So God is not waiting for you for heaven at last. God is not doing that. Is heaven at first for you, because you are then risen with Christ and you are seated with him in the heavenly places. If you see, there are lots of verses in the Bible. If, for example, Ephesians 1:20 tells you, Ephesians 2:6 tells you, you can read all this. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 20, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6, all of these verses are simply saying you are currently in heaven, seated with Christ. Now, if that sounds a bit strange to you, please go and check the example of Christ. John 3:13, Christ made the same claim and said to Nicodemus, I'm talking to you here on earth, but Nicodemus, I'm in heaven as I'm talking. John 3:13.
And for those people who judge sin differently and say, ah, this weight of sin and everything, we can see that the episode in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, about that was a very, at least for those who judge, we can say everything for a Christian brother, they sleeping with incest and all those kind of things, you know, incest, adultery, all the sorts. But we see that even Apostle Paul could say that it's nothing that the devil could do about his spirit. It is like that. But his body would suffer.
It would suffer loss. Die before his time. Something happened.
So what we are saying, some people feel like, oh, people, there is no responsibility for, no consequence for any of
those. Are consequences.
There are consequences for all these things. Though that when your spirit is set there, you understand and feel that there are no consequences. There are loss. Your body, you're opening his body for the devil, delivering his body to the devil. Mm. So you have the body, you suffer loss. Even in the judgment seat of Christ, the people will suffer loss for the work. That we've done, you know, that is the people suffer loss. People, they find things burnt. So all these things, and people that are there. So we need to understand all these things. And if you're just joining the page, you cannot just use one episode. So you need to look back
on
our previous transmission and follow us on the future on what we're going to be sharing and discussing. And it is yours. Responsibility to even understand these things yourself, and to understand that you still have responsibility, because some people are going to run off with Colossians chapter 3, 1 to 2, and from 5, they don't want to know, they don't want to modify their body, they just stop at 1 to 4.
No, you go to addresses.
Yes, so they just want to say that is what, and that is what, and they don't want to remember that that is. Verse 5 is there.
And
so,
verse 5 is about your second address.
Yes, second address. So they just want to address that and they are running off with that. And they don't know. So we are calling your attention for those people that are running off with verse 1 to 4 to know that verse 5 of Colossians chapter 3, that there is 5. You have to modify your body. You have to really understand these two together. And some, they only understood the other part, the 5. They don't understand the first 4 verses of that Colossians chapter 3. You see, you have to marry the two together as the instruction of the Lord in Colossians for us to understand this thing. You have to put those things in balance, the two of it together. We cannot run off with either of those places. You can't afford to be in any of those places. Some cannot be like this and ever at last all these ones. You need to understand everything, the whole counsel of God. So I hope that we'll be able to do.
Yeah, let me just in summary, let's say this. The reason we've talked about this title today is because of Jesus, who was going to lead us in the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus, after he addressed the paternity issue about our Father, the very next thing
is location.
His location, who is in heaven, because he knows it's the game changer. If somebody doesn't understand location, it means the reason why it's so important is because before you start talking about give us this, they are deliberate. Before you start saying, let your will be done what on earth, at least you know you're asking for his will to be done, but you know you are far above all those things. He knows your location makes the difference. So it means if a Christian gets location wrong, it means all the other parts of the prayers are just a waste of time. And that's why there's not that much effectiveness when we are praying. Using the Lord's Prayer as a model. And I want to say this. Don't forget, when he asked Jesus to teach us to pray, he said, after this manner, pray. It means that Lord's Prayer was a model. There's a pattern with it. And that's what that pattern is what we are looking at strategically. So just follow us as we go on with our next episodes.
So location is important. Location is everything. It makes all the difference. And then we're talking about the model of prayer. So you want to pray like Jesus prayed. And Jesus will have you pray. Because I pray in this manner, Jesus will have you pray for those people who want to pray like Jesus. You need to understand this, and it was not just extraneous why he put about paternity and location into it.
We need to
understand it. It is not important. So for people that are just running off looking for having less only for to pick prayer point catchers and those ones, they is out of their net. You need to understand that you need to see this in all its entirety. And see that you have to get the paternity, you have to get about the location as you're addressing the location to know who you are.
Where you are,
and how you are seated location. With Christ, and that how you cannot improve on that location. And why is not transient? As long as Christ's resurrection is not transient, it's not, so your location cannot be your where your spirit is cannot be transient like this. And then to understand that you still have your members that are in the
heart.
Where your spirit is in heaven, so you need to know, and then you have responsibility for that. It's not say I'm going to do that for you. He said, no, you are going to mortify. So you have responsibility to deaden to that. That is the thing. You cannot just run off with verse 4, 1 to 4 of Colossians chapter 3 and forget that you have to mortify this body. So you have copious scriptures from the Bible where the Romans say, present your body. So a lot of things to work out this out. But you need to know where our heart is, where our spirit is, and heaven has been, heaven is first for you. In case you don't know, as long as you are risen with Christ, heaven is first for you. And if that's what you are taking a low from this episode today, and I think it is good enough to know that first. Heaven is first, heaven has first for you, as long as you are risen with Christ. And so if you are not risen with Christ, you have better get into Christ today to know that, so that heaven will be first for you.
Give your life to Jesus.
So heaven should be first for you today, so you have to give your life to Jesus and let heaven be first and settle that, and then bring up your body to that, to where the heaven is, so by mortifying it, so that when he appears, so your body and that resurrection can appear with him, that is, you meet him in the sky, and those that are dead in Christ will rise up as well. So till we see you, if this has blessed you today, we want to see the fruit, we want to see righteousness increase in the land, by you taking charge of this and showing that heaven is at first for you, and then with that understanding, mortifying your body, so that your body will join where your spirit is. So you have to live the balanced gospel, and that is it. So we want you to, if you do have any questions, any clarification, or you do not agree, please just, we are hoping to any of you, just write them down on our page. So as the Lord give us the time and the grace, we'll be good to address it. So we want you to share it with your contacts. And so next, we want to see you 9 a.m. UK time tomorrow as we continue on this episode, and still we are still on this Lord's prayer, and we just only did the paternity and the location, as the Lord would give us such transformation tomorrow morning 9 a.m. UK time. So till we see you tomorrow morning 9 a.m. UK time, we want to say, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord,
so walk in him. God bless you. Bye.